Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. You're glad to be in the house of God here today?
Yes.
Praise God. Such a good group here. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody. I'm glad to see that the barbecue didn't take you away from Jesus today. Amen. Glad that those gutters that need painting, or those shutters that need straightening, or those lawns that need mowing and didn't take you away from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to see everybody. It's so good to have new faces with us here. Again, every week we just have visitors and with us, and we're just so honored that you'd be here with us, and we welcome you to Family Church. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. We're just excited to know God has a great plan for your life. He says that he knows the thoughts and plans that he has for you over there in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. I dare you to start believing in the goodness of God. Start believing that he's got good and only good for you, that the future is always brighter. Hallelujah. That every trial that you're facing, it's always subject to change. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, it's so good to have the Word. I don't know how people face the world without living out of the Word of God. There's no way you can have victory over the world except through your faith. The Bible says over there in 1 John 5:4, it says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Well, I thought more of you would be a little more excited about that than that. But your faith, notice it says, even your faith is able to overcome everything that's in the world. Even your faith.
Yes, that's right.
You know, sometimes we get this idea, well, man, if I was just this faith mega giant, then things would work for me. But Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, right? He said, you'd speak to the tree would uproot and move for you.
Right.
Hallelujah. He said, the mountain would move for you. Glory to God. So sometimes, you know, it's not the faith that you wish you had. It's the faith that you should start using. Don't be dwelling on the faith you don't think you have. Start using the faith you do have. Develop that measure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into the Word of God here today. Are you ready for the Word? If you have your Bibles, if you want to join me in 1 John, we're going to go over to chapter 4. And over the last few weeks, I've been teaching on a series of messages called The Foundations of Prosperity. Now, when people hear that word prosperity in church, sometimes they get nervous. They think that a minister is here to use some gimmick to get money out of you. No, this isn't a message about gimmicks. This is a message about the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And actually, this series of messages isn't about the kind of prosperity message that you might get on Christian TV. Because a lot of that message that you get on Christian TV, it of course it's skewed, right? There's a lot of pressure on there. There's a lot of gimmicks on there. You know, you got to be careful about that stuff. And I'm not against, you know, all Christian TV. You know, praise the Lord for it. We need more of it, but we need stuff that's based on Scripture. Hallelujah. And we've been looking at the foundations of prosperity. First of all, so many people, they think that prosperity, they think they hear that word and they think that we're going to talk about money. Oh, see, that the world's idea is that prosperity is based on how much money you have. Oh, no, 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 no. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't get any more rich than that. But maybe there's some things that we need to know to cooperate with prosperity. Hallelujah. And prosperity doesn't stop with finances. Finances are the lowest form of prosperity. Because we've seen this, that if you don't have peace, if you don't have joy, if you're depressed, if you're sick, if you're busted and disgusted in life, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Because we looked over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that it takes power to enjoy what you have in your life, and it must be God ordained.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, we've seen in the Bible that prosperity isn't a money thing, it's a character thing. See, the world's trying to prosper outwardly. We're trying to prosper inwardly.
Amen.
When the inward man prospers, when you are filled with peace and when you're filled with joy, hallelujah, when the inward man prospers, everything in the peripheral will prosper.
Amen.
Your financial situation is just a peripheral to the power of God that's dwelling on the inside of you. We're not chasing money, we're chasing peace.
That's it.
We're not chasing finances, we're chasing patience. I'm not looking to just grow in just money. I'll tell you what, because if you prosper financially beyond your character, it will crush you. It will kill you. You got to have the right character. You got to have the right inward prosperity, right? Yes. We took a look over there at James chapter 1, and we started in verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and temptations, right? Yes. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be whole and entire, lacking nothing. How many of you want to lack nothing in life?
Yes.
Notice it doesn't say, but let money have her perfect work. It said, let patience have her perfect work.
Amen.
People don't fail to prosper God's way because of a lack of money. They fail to prosper God's way for a lack of patience, for a lack of peace, for a lack of integrity, for a lack of character, for a lack of honesty. See, because if you prosper, see, we're prospering from the inside out. The world is trying to prosper from the outside in. You cannot prosper from the outside in. See, you're going to start to prosper when you start to pursue, number one, the peace of God. You know, when you start developing your spiritual nature first.
Amen.
When you develop your spiritual nature, when that becomes your treasure, then earthly treasures are going to show up.
Amen.
When you start to forget about and not be so concerned, when the moment you stop worrying about natural finances, that's the moment they're going to start coming to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because money does not create peace. Peace creates money. Money doesn't make you happy. Those that are happy will have money.
That's right. Good.
So you got to get it in the right order. God is not looking to invest his riches and wealth into somebody that worries and frets and panics.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we've been taking a look at these things. See, unless you learn on the inside first, that you really first, you know, what did Jesus say over there in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, when you pursue the peace of God, when you pursue his character, his honesty, his right way of doing things, my number one goal in life is not to have money. It's not even on my top 10 list. It's an outer ring out there on the target. The inner ring, the bullseye in my life is to please God. My goal isn't to have a big ministry. My goal is to please God. My goal isn't to have any kind of notoriety. My goal is to please God. Hallelujah. My goal isn't to have a vacation home in Florida. My goal is to please God. And when you seek God first, things will be added to you. Hallelujah. Things will be added. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus was talking about. And in context over there in Matthew chapter 6, he was talking about your needs, your food, your clothing, and your finances, right? Hallelujah. Today we're going to call this message Prospering Through God's Love. We're going to get right down to the root of all prosperity and just remind you, we're not talking first and foremost about finances. Finances are the lowest form of prosperity. However, they are included. You do need finances in this life. You are going to have needs. The gospel needs to be funded all over this globe. And people think it's so taboo to talk about money in church. Well, you know, the good news is that I'm really not talking about money in church today, but I'm not scared to talk about money in church. I've preached plenty. I'll say it out loud. I'll tell you what God has to say about money. And so many preachers, they're scared that they're going to lose you in your seats. Again, my number one goal isn't to keep you in these seats. My number one goal is to preach the truth, regardless if we have 10 people here or 1,000 people here. It doesn't matter. Truth is always going to be first. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because that's what pleases God. Faith pleases God. Truth pleases God. So let's talk about prospering through God's love. Hallelujah. See, prosperity is a matter of spiritual development, not financial development. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right. Here's the number one thing. We're gonna just jump in with this. The number one thing that prosperity depends on is this. This is what we all are seeking. This is what we all need. This is the root of prosperity in every form, whether it is financial, whether it is emotional, whether it is physical, whether it is family, whether it is marital, in your job or whatever. The number one need that depends on prosperity depends on is emotional stability.
Good.
Emotional stability. I know. Some of you don't seem all that excited about that here today. Oh, my. Many of God's people are living on a fake substitute for truth and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know that there is a substitute that Satan would like to get you to replace the need for truth and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that fake substitute is good feelings. Good feelings. People that are led by their feelings, they're led by their emotions. Satan would love for you to get addicted to good feelings. Because just the moment you get addicted to good feelings, he's going to make sure you have a shortage of them. See, because good feelings are sometimes hard to come by. And good feelings aren't always God's direction for you. See, Satan has a chosen compass for your life. It's the emotions. Because the emotions are allied with the flesh. And I'm not saying that all emotion is wrong. There's really some good emotions. God blesses good emotions. Yeah. Joy, right? Yeah. Joy is a good emotion. Praise the Lord. And God triggers good emotions. Not all emotion is wrong. However, emotions make a bad compass.
Yeah.
Right? Because emotions completely need a good feeling in order to work. Right?
That's good.
And the world is producing less and less good feelings. And once you have leaned upon good feelings and they become your crutch in life, that's when the devil's going to kick them out from underneath you. See? But truth is the compass that God has selected for us. The leading of the Holy Ghost on the inside is the compass that God has designed for us. Hallelujah. When we have a compass that's on the inside, the Holy Spirit, when our compass is truth, see, truth is fixed. It's stable, it's steady, regardless of what's going on in your mind.
That's right.
Have you ever noticed that the thoughts of your mind change like the weather? You know, I don't know what kind of weather is going on in your mind here today. You know, some people you think, oh, God's blessed me because I'm feeling good today. What, then all of a sudden tomorrow you have a trial or a trouble, all of a sudden God's not good to you tomorrow? So you base God's goodness to you based on how you felt. Come on now. Oh, God's being so good to us because the sun is shining. Oh, what, when it rains next week? Did God take away his goodness because it rains? And praise God for the weather. I mean, we glorify God for good weather. But God's goodness doesn't change with the weather. Whether we're getting a blizzard in June or we have 70 degrees in January, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. God's good all day, every day, regardless of the weather, regardless of what's going on in your mind, regardless of who's been nice to you or who's been mean to you, regardless if you kept your job or lost your job, regardless if you have surplus in your account or you just got hit with a major unexpected expense, God is good and only good all the time. And stop judging God's goodness with circumstances. Stop judging God's goodness by how you feel in your mind today. God isn't as moody as you are. Get a hold of this and get free. God is not moody like we all are. He's not having a bad day. Not ever. And we don't have to have a bad day. But people are living on a fake substitute. They have substituted good feelings for truth, right? How much of the New Testament tells us what Jesus felt? Come on, all you Bible scholars out there. Rack your brains for a chapter and verse that really tells us how Jesus ever felt. The closest you will ever find is over there in Matthew chapter 26 when Jesus said, "My soul is sorrowful unto death." O God, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. Who remembers Jesus saying that?
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
What was Jesus telling us? He's like, my soul, my emotions are overweighed with the thoughts of death. To the point of extreme anxiety. But notice what Jesus said. Father, not my will, but your will be done.
Yes.
Does that amaze you that Jesus had a different will in his emotions than God did?
Come on.
His emotions weren't assisting the plan of God.
Right.
They were resisting the plan of God. His emotions were a powerful force urging Jesus towards the path of least resistance. Your emotions are a force constantly urging you towards the good feeling. What if Jesus would have pursued the good feeling? We would all be lost. There would be no salvation. There would be no hope without Jesus putting the flesh under, putting the emotions aside and say, I'm not going to go with the good feeling. I'm going to go with the leading of God. I'm going to go with the truth. I'm going to go with God's purpose for my life, even if it isn't a good feeling right now. Jesus was facing the same thing we face day in and day out. What are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find?
That's right. Amen.
What are you going to do? See, that's the people that overcome. That's the people that get blessed. That's the people that see the miraculous in their life.
Amen.
That it's not about the good feeling.
Right.
It's about what does God say?
That's it.
What does God want?
Yes.
What's going to please God?
Yes. Amen. That's it.
Hallelujah. Prosperity depends on you being emotionally stable, not to be pulled in to the weather of your mind.
You're right. Very good.
The moodiness of your brain. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Let's start talking about how you prosper through God's truth, through God's love for you. I'll tell you what, you're going to get a hold of this. When you understand how much God loves you, you will never again dare to doubt that you're going to prosper.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm about ready to go off.
Yes.
Go over there to 1 John. I had you go over there. 1 John chapter 4. Glory to God.
Amen.
You might as well just get addicted to the Word. Stop living on your feelings. Oh, so-and-so said something to me. So-and-so hurt my feelings. Some family member did this. Well, who cares? Because that doesn't make you any different, because we've all been wronged by somebody and we've all wronged somebody else. Because there might be a good feeling today and after lunch there might be a negative feeling. Stop living on your feelings. You know, your emotions aren't you.
That's right.
And God's not moody.
No. Amen.
Nothing worse than a moody person.
Come on. Yeah,
you just never know what you're going to get.
Come on.
You know, life is like a moody person. Instead of life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. Forrest Gump or whoever.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Isn't that something? How moody people confuse people. How confusion is bred by moody people. You know, one day they're all up, and the next day they're all down. They change on a dime. And sometimes people are suffering from conditions and things like that. But I'll tell you what, behind it all is the devil. Behind it all is the devil. And if there's one thing I want to be in life, it's low maintenance. I don't want people to be touchy around me, like, well, they don't know what they're going to get today. Because you know why? Because every day I wake up, every night I go to bed, God is the same in the morning, He's the same in the afternoon, He's the same in the middle of the night.
Amen. That's right.
He's not never having a bad day. He's always welcoming me. He's always saying that He'll help me. He never turns me away. Glory to God. Some of you are so moody. What did I tell you to go? 1 John chapter 4. I tell you, I'm trying to get there. Let's read verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Let's talk about the number one way that you're going to prosper. Of course, God doesn't prosper anybody apart from faith. You have to believe something, not feel something. Some of you are waiting to feel something. Some of you are waiting, you know, when you see these people and they're all having joy during praise and worship, you're like, I'm just waiting to feel like they feel. I don't praise or get involved with God. I don't start jumping and praising Him and things like that because I feel like it. If you live the way you feel, your life is going to be miserable. You know what I mean? Just like, meaning always just doing what you feel like doing. No, you better break out of that. Get out of the box. Stop being that person that's so rigid. And I know, because I deal with that all the time. I got to force myself. Make sure that my flesh doesn't make the decision for me.
That's right. Yeah.
Why are you asking your emotions permission? Why are you asking your emotions permission? Well, do I have permissions? Let's see if my feelings will give me permission to act joyous. No, because on the way to church, someone gave me a phone call that so-and-so's mad at me, and I'm going to have to face them at work tomorrow, so I can't have joy in church. Well, you're asking your emotions for permission? You better start acting the way you believe and stop acting the way you feel. Because do you always feel like being kind? Some of you are like holding your breath. You don't even know how to answer that question. But you don't always act on that anger or that aggression, do you? Even though you feel it. Right. What do you got to do? You got to put on the new man. You got to put on Christ, right? Stop living by your feelings. Stop asking your feelings for permission. Because don't let your emotions be your God. Emotions are a fake substitute for the Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him." Let's just start by teaching this scripture. Let's make sure that we all know we're not talking about the Valentine's Day kind of love.
Right.
We're not talking about a sentimental a feeling between a man and a woman. We're not talking about dating kind of love. We're talking about the extreme benevolence of God. The benevolence of God. You are never going to prosper until you get a revelation of how much God loves you, how good he's been to you, how good he's going to be to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Many have told me that they don't feel loved. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel good enough. They don't feel this great salvation. They don't feel this great presence of God. Well, here's the refreshing news. God didn't require you to feel. He required you to believe. Oh, get a hold of that. That is life-changing.
That's right. Yes.
Just get that epiphany. I don't have to feel to have.
That's right.
I don't have to feel to have. I just believe to have. I'm gonna let that soak in, because some of you are still letting that tinker around up there in the gray matter. Ding, 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 ding. I can hear the, right? It's like the marble in the aerosol can. Believe me, I have it going on up here too. You know, just let that soak in. Let that soak in. You are not required to feel. You are required to believe. You aren't waiting to say, I feel loved by God. God's waiting for you to say, I believe I'm loved. I believe I'm loved. Notice what the verse says in verse 16. We have known and believed the love God has for us. Not we have felt the love that God has for us. We have believed the love that God has for us. How many times do you hear me say around here, we're highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored? Why am I constantly exhorting you to say that? Because it's the foundation of everything. It's amazing what God does in the lives of people that have an extreme attitude of his love towards them.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Having to feel something is making emotions your God. Then you are seeking permission from a source that God never required you to seek permission from. We will never perceive God correctly until we perceive Him through His love for us. And this love that He had for us is so extreme that it requires an extreme attitude with it. You know, hold this. Let me say this again. God's love for us is so extreme, it requires an extreme faith to go along with it. Let me show you this. There is an attitude that must be constantly maintained if you're going to believe that God loves you. Now, don't you just say it as some token thing that you heard from in Sunday school when you were a kid. God loves me, Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, praise the Lord for that. Praise God for that. My kids sing that song. That's awesome. But I tell you what, so many times we just reiterate things. We say it out of our mind. I mean, we need to get our spirit involved, get our heart involved, get bold, get saying these things. So many people are just walking through life, well, Jesus loves me. No, you need to get fervent with it. I mean, you need to have some conviction about the love that God has for you. Hallelujah. Let me read you the Weiss translation. This is translated by a Greek scholar, and he translates this verse this way. And as for us, we have known experientially the love which God has in our case, and we have that knowledge at present. We must constantly be aware of God's love towards us. It doesn't matter how much you said it yesterday, how much do you believe it today? He said, we have this knowledge at present, and we have believed, and at present time, maintain that attitude. Maintain an attitude that God loves you. Some of you, you got an attitude. Right? But we need to get this attitude. The attitude is the attitude that God loves you extremely. The word attitude means to take an extreme position on something you believe is true. That's what an attitude is, right? You take an extreme position on something you think to be true. Right? Isn't that what sports rivalries are about?
Oh, sure.
People taking an extreme stance on something they believe is true. Now, I don't believe it's true that the Buffalo Bills are a good football team. Never mind. Listen, I've grown up watching that team. You know, I'm all about supporting Western New York teams, but let's just face it, for the last 13 years, they've been garbage. You know, I don't mind telling you that they are the armpit of the NFL. So I was going to start ranting and raving. I can't really rant and rave about them. But you've seen sports fans, you know, that, I mean, they just rant and rave. They believe that their team is so awesome. You know, what is it with Steelers fans? Do we have any of those? Oh, yeah, we got some Steelers fans. I mean, it just seems the Steelers could go without, they didn't make the playoffs, but they're still awesome. Well, maybe that's faithfulness and loyalty to your team, but anyway, that's the kind of extreme stance I'm using as an example. When people find something to be true, when they hold it on to be true, they take an extreme stance on it. Of course, I'm using the sports, you know, fan illustration just to kind of, you know, point that out. But what if we start taking that extreme stance with God's love for us? Now, whether your attitude, all right, the truth is the truth, but even our attitude, okay, let me give you an example. Let's take God's love so extreme. God loves us so much that He gave us His Son, that He withheld nothing from us. What if we took that and got extreme with it and said, I will never lack anything because I am loved. If God gave me His Son, How would he not give me all things?
That's right.
And actually, that's just scripture.
That's right.
Can we bring up Romans 8:32?
Yeah.
We know that that's just a verse, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We need to take an attitude of the extreme from this verse and said, he will give me everything. And even if there, this is an extreme attitude, I believe this. And when I say this, don't you get offended when I say something like this, because I'm just using it as an illustration, okay? I've already offended the Steelers fans. Let's see who else I can get to. But I mean, having such an extreme stance with the love of God, if everyone in the world was starving and there's one piece of bread left, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
That's an extreme love. Now, that might not be necessarily truth in the sense that, but I'm taking such an extreme personal stance. God loves me so much, he will make sure that I never go without. Even if I'm the only person on this earth that's going to receive from his love, I'm getting it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, we know that that isn't true. God's going to bless as many people as he possibly can. But my extreme stance on it is a reflection of my belief in God's love. I believe God loves me so much. I believe that if he prospered me with Jesus, he is going to prosper me every way else. He has already given me the unthinkable gift.
Yes.
Anything else, whether it comes in the form of homes, whether it comes in the form of vehicles, whether it comes in the form of investments, whether it comes in the form of children, whether it comes in the form of ministry or success or whatever it is, everything else pales in comparison.
Right.
He has already given to the extreme.
Amen.
So it's easy for me to believe. For obviously this isn't for me, but for a new job. If you're believing God for a new job, it's easy for you to believe. What makes it easy for you to believe for a new job if you're believing for one, if you need one? Why is it easy? Because he gave you Jesus. If you're believing for a promotion or an increase in your salary, it's easy to believe that. If you're believing God for a new car because you have that need, it's easy. Why? He already gave Jesus. He spared not Jesus. Do you think he's going to spare you the health in your body? Do you think he's going to deny you health when he gave you Jesus Christ?
Come on.
See, this is the type of thing that people get upset with. Read the verse.
Yes.
If he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Christ also freely give all things?
That's right. That's right.
Some of you are upset by that because you're letting the devil get in your mind and say, no, that all things really doesn't mean all things.
Come on.
All things.
All things.
All things. Do you need new clothes? Yes. Do you need food on your table? Yes. Do you need a nice home to live in? Yes. Do you need a car to drive to work? Yes. Do you need a savings account? Yes. Do you need it growing? Yes. Do you need a blessed marriage? Yes. Do you need health in your body? Yes. Do you need blessed children? Yes. A blessed marriage? Do you need favor with your employer? Yes. You need all those things in life. But what is the root of it all? We're loved. This is why the world ultimately hates us. Because we are loved with an extreme love.
Yes, we are.
And that love of God is evident in our life.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. I hope I made someone mad. Hopefully a Steelers fan. Hallelujah. No doubt they'll be better this year than Buffalo. I know it. They will be. It's okay. I'm over it. They've been better for the last 20 years. All right. I admit it. No doubt there. I'm not denying reality. But just admit it when your team stinks. I know. I can admit when my team stinks. Hallelujah. Everyone say this with me. Say, I believe.
I believe.
I am loved.
I am loved.
I do not feel.
I do not feel.
I believe.
I believe.
I'm not waiting for a feeling to tell me I'm loved.
That's right.
The truth told me I'm loved.
Yes. Yes.
And he said this love is so extreme that it surpassed, it transcended, it met every need, it went beyond, that every good thing you ever see will never compare. It doesn't matter. Anything good that happens in your life from this moment on will never be nearly as good.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. You're right.
So it's not a big thing for God to see that you have the home that you need. It's not a big thing for Him. It's a far easier gift.
Yeah.
See, take and maintain a attitude. This is where people get blessed. When they take such an extreme attitude, say, I am so loved by God. And this is the attitude that people get mad at. Why do you get upset when you hear stories of Christians getting nice things? Oh, yeah. Yep. I heard about a preacher on TV, and he has his own private jet. And in this jet, he wrote it might even put it on the outside, too. And he put his name and said, I'll just tell you who it is. I'm not promoting or denying this minister. Great man of God, actually. Jesse Duplantis. Oh, yeah. On his airplane, it says, God loves Jesse. And you know how many people have gotten so ticked off and mad? All right, so you don't have a private jet, neither do I, but why are you so mad that he does? Is God's love any shorter to you? Maybe God has called that man to travel the world and needs a more efficient way to do it. I don't know. I don't listen to his ministry. I don't support it, but when I see other men of God that have, you know, big blessings or expensive items, I don't necessarily get skeptical of them. That is the plan of the enemy, to get you skeptical about every believer that has something nice. That's absolutely right. But I just remember one time hearing him say, he said, I put on my airplane, God loves Jesse. And I'll tell you what, you know what, regardless of whether you like that man or support his ministry or not, I personally just don't feed from his ministry. I'm not saying he's wrong. I just don't. He's just not one of my feeders, you know what I mean? But I'll tell you what, there is something absolutely extreme and awesome about the fact that he just believes God so big, God loves me. God loves me. Whether God gave him a private jet or a home in the Bahamas or whatever, it's never gonna compare to the love that he showed. So people get so upset and so twisted about things. I don't have a jet, but I don't care that he does. He's got a way bigger home. He's got multiple homes. I don't care. I live in one. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Glory to God.
See, don't get your mind twisted in these things. The people that are offended at that stuff, they're the money-minded people.
Yeah, sure.
Some of you are sitting there. You are so nervous that I'm on this subject. I am purposely not getting off this soapbox until I get you royally twisted in a knot. Because I will never be able to get God's provision towards your life until I can just make, if I have to get big with my statements or my illustrations, to break that religious garbage off of your life. The reason why you're not blessed is because you're too concerned with someone else's blessings. Why are you so concerned with how God blessed somebody else? Right? Right? Remember Peter? When at the end of the book of John, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and Jesus had spoken something personally to John the apostle and said that you will not die until you see the glory of God and so on, and Peter got all jealous. Peter's plan on his life was different. And Jesus looked over at Peter and said, what is it to you?
Yeah.
Was it to you that I'm going to use him this way? Was it? What is it to you that God blesses somebody some way else?
Yeah, right, sure.
Why are you get so twisted about other people's blessings in their life? Anyway, that's a little side note. Let's get back to the regularly scheduled program. What I'm talking about is an extreme attitude.
Yes.
An extreme attitude. So many times people look at things in life and say, I could never have something good.
Come on.
Then you don't know God's love.
That's right.
God's love has no limit.
Yes. Amen.
I didn't realize just how extreme this message was going to get. You know? And there is a level of resistance in this room right now. And I don't care. I don't. Because there's people that they start to put the brakes on. When you start, see, there's things. I'll tell you what, listen. When you face that need and it looks like there is no way it's going to work out, the mortgage has to get paid, this credit card company, this debt or whatever is bearing down on me, I dare you to look at that need and say, I am so loved by God.
Yes.
I am so extremely loved.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus, the Son of God, was killed and murdered on my behalf.
That's right.
God gave me his Son. There's no way that this can go any other way, but it's going to work out. It is going to work out. It's got to.
That's right.
Because if God loved me with such an extreme love, meeting this need,
yeah.
He already met the greatest need I could ever have.
Right.
This is nothing. Yeah. This is small potatoes.
That's right. Good.
Yeah.
Amen.
So many people, they live in a box in their mind. Well, you know, this is what, you know, great granddaddy had and granddaddy had and daddy had, and we just kind of come from this life. We were just raised this way, and so this is the kind of meager living that I can expect. Well, I tell you what, you got a new daddy. You have a new father. Some of you, I can just sense people getting nervous. I sense it. I sense you get nervous. I know there's a difference when I sense when I'm getting nervous and when I sense when other people get nervous. I can tell I'm not nervous. But so many people, they never know how to believe big for God. Why is this building getting paid off? Because we are loved. I'm not waiting for the millionaire to show up and pay our debt. I mean, if that happens, fine. But I'm just saying, like, so many people, they get in their mind certain ways things are going to happen. Well, hopefully some big giver shows up. Hopefully this happens, or I get a break here. My ship comes in.
Come on.
I'm not waiting for an investment to work.
Yes.
I'm loved.
Yes.
Why does provision flow towards you? Because you're loved.
Yes.
Why is blessing going to come your way? Because you're loved. Some of you are saying, well, blessing doesn't come my way. Have you started to get extreme and start saying every day, I am highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored. I am the favorite of God. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the son of the living God.
Amen.
People that live that way and speak that way, you watch how blessed they get. And I'm not just talking about money. That's the outer ring of the target.
Right.
I'm talking you watch their marriage, you watch their kids, you watch favor.
Amen. Glory to God.
I dare you every day. I believe I'm loved. I'm not waiting for a feeling. I believe I'm loved.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Go down there to 1 John 4:18. So we've known and believed. Have you believed the love that God has for you? So just say, yes, I know, Jesus loves me, yada, yada. No, I dare you, go down there in your spirit, man, out of your innermost being and start saying, I am loved by God. I don't care what thoughts are in my mind. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday or even on the way to church. I'm telling you, you are loved. You are so extremely loved that if he spared not Jesus from you, he will withhold no good thing from you. Right? Psalm 84:11, the Lord is a sun and a shield. Grace and glory will he give. No good thing will he withhold from them that live uprightly. So many people, they see God as withholding their blessing. God is not withholding anything from me.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
I believe I'm loved. I believe God loves me more than he loves you. Talk about making people mad. Now, that isn't true, but that's my extreme attitude. I believe I'm God's favorite. My wife just said to me, no, I'm his favorite. But that's that's seriously the kind of attitude where we have to get that personal relationship with God, where it focuses so in where we just feel like, but us and God, that he is just so abundant towards us. Hallelujah. Every time I pray over my food, thank you, Lord, for this food. I thank you. You have furnished me in abundance to every good thing. See, so many people, they think prosperity is a matter of money. I'm telling you today, it's a matter of believing you're loved. Why are you going to get the job and the other 100 applicants won't? Because you're loved. Right. Hallelujah. Why are you going to get the pay raise when no one else does? Why are you going to find a job when everyone else is struggling? Why? Well, unemployment's over 8%. It don't matter. The love of God destroyed that number. Hallelujah. Well, everyone else is unemployed. This area is depressed, and this is why, and people are leaving New York State. Wah, 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 wah. It doesn't matter. It isn't governed by what those, well, nice people in Albany are doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing in Albany in terms of your blessing.
That's right. That's right.
God has delivered us from unreasonable and wicked men. Hallelujah. No matter how unreasonable the law gets, God's love transcends it. He loves you more than what the governor's doing. And what the presidential administration is doing. Yes, we pray for those areas. Yes, we believe. But I'll tell you what, I'm not focused on thinking that my blessing comes from them.
That's right. That's right.
My blessing doesn't. My blessing doesn't come from you.
No, that's right. Amen.
My joy is not found in what someone else is thinking of me. My joy is not in someone else's head.
No, you're right.
It's a relationship. It's me and him.
Yes.
Me and him.
Amen.
I'm talking about in the personal relationship side. I'm not... Don't misunderstand my words. I love my wife and my kids. I love you and my church. Why? Because I'm first loved.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll never love correctly until you know how loved you are.
That's a good word. That's a good word.
Praise the Lord. Look at verse 18. You think we were having fun up until now. Wait until this. Look at verse 18. Now this verse is going to make sense to you. There is no fear in love. Remember that fad? The no fear fad? Remember everyone had stickers on their cars? No fear. We should make a Christian one that says, no fear in love. All right, so that wasn't that funny. Okay. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. What is this verse talking about? I'll tell you, so many times this verse is preached as it's talking about how we treat others. Well, if we don't treat others right, then fear will have an open door to our life. Well, there's probably some truth to that. But this verse is not, in context, is not talking about the love you show other people, which is highly important. You understand, we're not belittling that. But I'm focusing on the love that God showed towards you. Because you will never know how to show love until you know how loved you are. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 18 is talking about God's love towards you. God's love towards you casts out fear and its roommate, torment. Fear is tormenting. Remember what I said the last couple weeks? What is the number one cause of poverty? You can say it out loud. Fear. Fear caused poverty. Think about what people fear the most about. Typically, as a pastor, I've learned this, that the greatest fear that people give into is the fear of not having enough. The fear of not having enough money. The fear of not having enough, you know, food or provision or, you know, just natural needs.
Sure.
Not having enough to pay their bills.
Right.
I would say this, as a pastor, that in people's families, that is the number one fear the enemy tries to use against people.
Yeah.
Number one fear, that you won't have enough. Or you could say it this way, one of the devil's main attacks is against God prospering you. And if you get afraid and live in fear, you will not prosper. The world will not understand you when you... The people of this world will not comprehend somebody that won't be afraid like them.
Yeah, right.
The world's going to cry out to you, right?
Yeah.
Come on and worry like we used to.
Oh, come on.
Come on and panic one more time for old time's sake. Yeah. Come on and be scared. Here's a good one. People are going to say, I used to like you better when you worried. Well, yeah, you liked me better when I was tormented like you. I've had people get downright offended because I say, I'm not going to worry about it. Pastor, this is happening. That is happening. This is happening. I'm not going to worry about it. You insensitive, heartless pastor. I've had people say that. I had somebody one time shake their finger in my face and said, and you call yourself a minister? Yeah. Like, it's like that little twist on their finger, like tearing my heart out or something, like, you know, I just say, why? Because I wouldn't panic like you? Why? Because I'm loved. Love pays my bills. Love is my health insurance. Love is my social security. Love made a way. Love came in once I realized I'm so loved by God. Fear gets the eviction notice because fear can't pay the rent, but God pays it with his love. Hallelujah. Fear never paid your bills. Jesus said, what man can add 1 foot to his stature by worrying?
You're right. That's right. You can't.
You can't add anything to your life because fear could never add. It can only subtract.
That's right.
But when you start believing the love of God, I believe I'm loved. I am God's favorite. I'm the apple of his eye. He spared not his own son. He'll freely give me all things. Hallelujah. I'm so loved. I'm so loved. That a divine parent who had an eternal relationship with his son never had an argument,
right.
Never had one negative thing happen in all of the eternal past, and God still gave him for me, not because I did anything right, but I was a criminal and a sinner, just like we all were.
That's right. Glory to God. Thank
you. Oh, the love. I can't imagine it.
Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you.
It's unthinkable. I'll use this brief illustration. I'm going to tell on myself. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. What I'm about to tell you about myself isn't a good part of myself. I had my boys down to the creek yesterday, and just, you know, sitting there and skipping rocks with my kids, throwing, you know, just at a little creek, and, you know, they were just enjoying it, and you know, a couple other people showed up, and if they're here today, my condolences. But it was... These two people, there were two young people, and it was springtime, and love was in the air. And they come walking down the little path to the creek, and all of a sudden, oops, there's a dad here with his two kids. And that dad with his two kids was me. And if there's one thing, if I am protected over, it is with my kids. You want to see my teeth? Just go ahead and mess with my kids, all right? Because that's how God is. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:6 that God finds it a righteous thing to trouble them that trouble you.
Oh, yes.
I always tell people, you don't want to trouble me, because I have a God who will trouble you. Yeah. You just got to understand how much God loves you, how much He's with you. He's protecting you. He's surrounding you. But these two youngsters, I'd say they're probably 17, 18-year-old, and they come down like, oh, dad and kids are here, okay. And they start behaving themselves well for a minute, you know. And they get down there, and, you know, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, boys, I don't want to make you leave the creek or whatever, because these nice folks showed up. And, well, sure, after a little while, you know, now I'm trained by a pastor who's from, you know, the Pentecostal holiness background, okay? I don't think there's any such thing as a modest bathing suit. Well, next thing you know, I'm just skipping stones, and I happen to look over, and this guy is lifting up this girl's shirt and, you know, taking off her shirt, and, of course, she had, like, a bikini top underneath it. And instantly, my thoughts got so carnal and mad, because I don't even want my boys even looking at that junk, you know? And I know, that's pretty radical. Well, we'll preach on the some of you are like, oh my goodness. Yeah, it's called modesty. Remember? But anyway, so I see this, I'm like, oh, you know, and of course my two little boys, their eyes are glued. Oh, you know, I'm like, all right, show's over. We're going. But instantly in my thought, I mean, my thoughts went ripping through my head, like, these no good people. Just lowlifes, and you never had thoughts like that? These were my thoughts. These aren't my beliefs. You understand? They just flooded my mind instantly. I'm not like that, but I'm just telling you, my thoughts started hitting me, like, these lowlifes, you know? And Jesus, and instantly God started talking to me and said, I took you into my family when you were a criminal. Oh. You ever had the love of God zing you right in your heart? I'm like, you're right. You're so right. You know, they don't know Jesus, maybe. Or they're just young. They haven't been taught, or, you know, they don't know what the word says or whatever. We got to have mercy on people. But the mind wants to be merciless. Okay? But anyway, the illustration that I'm making is that I was so protective of my kids. You know? I mean, so much to the point I didn't even want them looking at even dwelling on the flesh with their eyeballs, right? Do you know how much God wants to protect us and preserve us and to be around us and guard us? And oh my goodness, let me show you. Look at here. He says, there's no fear in love. When you get that revelation of God's love, you can't be afraid. You won't be afraid of the bills being paid. You won't be afraid of not having enough.
That's right.
That's why I said, those people that get afraid, they have not been matured in love.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten a revelation of God's love towards them if you're afraid of not having enough.
Right. Yeah.
If you're afraid the symptoms of the symptoms on your body. If you're afraid of the report from the doctor, if you're afraid of the negative news, if you're afraid. Now, those feelings might try to come on you, but you instantly, this is what faith does. You say, I'm loved.
That's it. Good.
I'm not afraid of the doctor's report because I'm loved.
That's right.
I'm not afraid of the enormous expense that came in. I'm loved. I'm not afraid of the needs. I'm loved. People that are afraid of needs have forgotten God's love for them. Now let's close it up here. You're in 1 John. Go to chapter 3. This is where true prosperity comes from. I'm loved. Now you can't only, you understand, this is where it begins. This isn't where it ends. You can't just say, I'm loved, but then I'm not going to work. I'm loved, and I'm not going to go to church and obey God. I'm loved, and I'm going to just keep living a sinful life. No, because this love goes both ways. You know, I have people that tell me, they say, oh, you know, Pastor, I don't want to sin because I don't want to lose something good in my life. I don't want to sin because I might lose that blessing or I might lose this. And I say, wait a minute, your motivation is all wrong. I don't sin. I don't refrain from sin to withhold, you know, to make sure I don't lose a blessing. I stay away from sin because I love God. I don't want to displease Him. I don't want to hurt my Heavenly Father. That's why I don't watch raunchy entertainment. That's why I try to watch my mouth. That's why I don't have fights with my wife. That's why I don't badmouth, you know, my leadership. Or when I worked in the school system, I didn't badmouth my employer. That was what was governing me the whole time, is the fact that I'm so loved and I don't want to displease this God, this love provider.
That's right.
Love provides for you.
Yes.
Love. It says that God, we said all up, saw up there in verse 16, it said God is love. Yeah. It didn't say God is loving. God is, like, love is the ingredient that makes God, God.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Love is what God looks like. Love is what God sounds like. It's what He feels like. It's what He smells like. It's what He tastes like. Love is what overwhelms the five senses.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, it's going to work out. It's going to be fine. You're loved. You're loved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3. Now what kind of love have you been loved with right here? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I love how it says, behold the manner of love. This is the kind of love that you got. This is what He gave you. That we should be called the sons of God. Not the servants of God. The sons of God. Oh my goodness. See how your confession is building as you hear this? This is where this message, this is how you apply it. Listen, this is how you apply it. You don't just think this way, you talk this way.
That's right.
Wake up in the morning. I am so highly loved of God. Every need is provided by this love.
Yeah.
I abound in the love of God. I'm the apple of His eye. I am His favorite. I am a son of the living God.
Yeah. Amen.
I didn't call myself that. He called me that. What is this love talking about? Oh, let me read my notes because I want to say it right. We receive the new birth through God's love, right? We were born again because He loved us. We accepted Jesus Christ, His gift. We received the new birth. The new birth wasn't about forgiving our sins. We didn't need our sins forgiven as much as we needed a new nature. But the new birth was necessary to get us into God's family. People say, well, I'm forgiven. Listen, forgiveness is great, but that's the most shallow definition of salvation. You didn't need forgiveness. You needed a new nature. And you needed a new nature so that you could get into the family. The new birth, I didn't just get born out of my sin. I got born into the family that can provide everything.
Amen.
I am a son. God said, come on and be related to me.
Yes.
Be related to me. Don't just be the servant that lives in the servant quarters outside the master's house. Come on in, live in the house. Take my name upon you. Receive the adoptions of sons and daughters.
Amen. Glory to God.
A servant is someone who's hired. They clock in, they clock out. And the employer only has responsibility as long as they're on the clock. Israel were the servants of God. God had a form of responsibility, but he never took responsibility for anybody like he's taken responsibility for us. I have sons who live in my house. I tuck them in. When they're sleeping, I come in and lay hands on them and pray. I feed them.
Yes.
Gonna have a, speaking of the turkey woods, got some turkey marinating right now for this afternoon, right? I feed them. My wife and I set up meals. We call them to the table. Let us feed you. Let us clothe you. Let us buy you toys. Let's lavish on you this love because you're sons.
That's right.
As much as I love the other kids in this church, I don't do for them what I do for my own.
That's right. Amen.
God has said, you're my own. You're my children. I will stake my reputation on how well I take care of you. But there's one thing required from our part. You must believe it. You don't have to feel it. You have to believe it. If you walk out of here, and you never go out and just say, I am so loved by God. Some of my extreme attitudes might offend somebody, but that's okay. I'm loved.
That's right.
I'm provided for. I will lack no good thing.
That's right.
And I don't care who gets mad at me for the way God blesses me.
Yeah.
I don't care. Because my joy isn't found in your brain.
That's right.
And you need to get over that and need to understand that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It was necessary to be born into God's family. This is the revelation that people lack. They forget that they are related to God. They forget that God has a responsibility to take care of you. He has to, but only if you believe. God does not have permission to bless you until you believe you're loved. Did you get something out of this today? People won't preach this stuff, but it needs to be said. People want to just talk about prosperity. It comes from just sowing and, you know, just giving money and stuff. Well, we got to be givers. But I'm not going to prosper just because I sowed seed. I'm going to prosper because I'm loved. I'm going to prosper because I'm loved. We're highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored. Glory to God. Let's pray.